Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Peggy and Dion.
ESPN 1000.
So my guilt-ridden 11-year-old just texted me and said, I'm going to get grounded now, Mom, aren't I? Because he admitted that he has sworn outside of my presence. And I said, of course not,
okay,
buddy. It's just fine.
I do think, too, it's important to teach them what is acceptable and what is not.
Yes.
I remember, now, I have been known to colorfully describe things with swear words sprinkled and sparsed about in lots of places. I feel like curse text with the best of them. I can turn a quick phrase with that type of language. But I will tell you, I'm very good about never swearing in front of my kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've ever really caught me. Maybe once as I was kind of whispering an F word with my kids in the room, but I wasn't even aware completely that they were there.
Yeah, yes.
When I'm aware they're there, I'm very good at turning it off. And yeah. I think part of it is doing the radio.
Oh,
right?
Right. Of course.
You have to know when you can and can't.
Yes.
And you have to be able to turn it on and off. So I've always been good about that. However, my wife, who actually does not swear often when we're in general conversation, but when work comes into play, she can be triggered at times where she's frustrated.
Yes.
And my kids have heard her from time to time just let F words fly freely in the kitchen.
Wow.
Where they've observed it. And, you know, it's just her frustration and her all-consuming job that sometimes gets the best of her. And so I'm always kind of like, come on, can you tone it down just a little when they're in the room and in the vicinity?
Right.
And she's, but I've had numerous conversations about when it is and is not appropriate to go ahead and swear. And I've told my kids, listen, a swear word is just another word, it's but you have to be cognizant of the fact of the company you're keeping.
Of course.
And, who you can and cannot swear in front of. And in professional or settings with other adults, let's not use those words. Let's find better choices to go ahead and use it. So that's always been my message to them. And I can't recall a time where my kids have ever sworn in front of me. I think I might have overheard my son using the S word, but I don't think he was aware that I was anywhere near him. However, he does freely use the phrase, what the? And then a hard what the? And then trails off. So it's a WTF situation,
yes,
Dion.
Yes.
But he doesn't complete the out loud F.
Okay.
But and this is where the way you say it matters, because the way he says it with such aggression makes it almost sound like he's completed the whole phrase. Now, I do not know, Dion, if he actually is thinking in his head the whole phrase.
Yes, he is.
But I don't know that, or if it's just because growing up being surrounded by a bunch of other 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, specifically, too, when you're playing, online video games.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Fortnite.
Yes.
That he hears them saying, what the, quite often as well. And again, he does not complete the phrase.
Okay.
So it's harsh when he says it to the point where I'm like, hey, you can't say what the way you say it. Because even though you're not swearing,
just with that tone,
it is actually almost as bad if you complete it, because the way you're saying it makes it sound like you're saying,
Would you rather he just complete outright say it?
It's company you're keeping. He's so free and loose with it when he's, with other gamers, on his headphones.
Yep.
Then I'm like, hey, you need to chill out and relax a little bit here. Let's find, let's not get so aggressive about it, because if someone's around you, they think you're actually swearing. So that has been my experience with my 11-year-old son and his almost but not quite swearing.
So Cash was about, I think, 6 the first time that he was throwing some laundry like down the chute or something, and it didn't go in, and he says, what the hell? And I was like, oh my, P.S. I do not even feel comfortable saying that. Am I allowed to? I can say that on the radio.
Oh, please. Right? I've said so many things.
I don't feel comfortable saying that. Week. Oh my gosh. So he says it, and we were like, whoa, what is that? Then maybe like a week or so later, where I walked to the park and he had gone ahead with some of his friends, and he's yelling it from the top of the top of the monkey bars or whatever. And I was like, Cash Harrison, get over here right now. And that he was punished at that point. Yes.
That's fair. Again, what are you, how are you potentially influencing the others around you? I think it's important.
And I think it was something where he had just heard it. He had heard others saying it, like, you know, because he was maybe six. But anyway, no, I'm of the opinion that when you have children, your house is bugged. So whether you're saying it in their presence or not, they hear and they know.
Oh, okay. So your kids are around.
Listening all the time. Even when you're not there, like the walls can talk. They know. They know how you feel about things. They know how you, I'm always saying.
See, when you said bugged, I thought you might have meant your Alexa or your Google Home.
Well, also
in which
that.
In case, yes.
Well, also that.
They're monitoring.
Which is so freaky. That freaks me out. That
see, I find,
we can have a conversation about, I don't know, I need a water pick in my bathroom, and the next time I open my phone, there it will be on sale.
Yeah, I find
so
I find it's best not to think about it. And my ploy is I go around the house and unplug all of them constantly.
Oh,
my wife gets mad at me though, because then she tries to make the grocery list.
Yeah. Oh, that yes.
She has
I'm
to
that
reset
way
it, and I get yelled at.
Chronic announcer.
She throws F-bombs at me for unplugging the Google Home around the house.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, I'm trying to make the grocery list. What the. Now I know where my son gets it, Dion.
Of course. Of course.
She's Dion Miller. I'm Jeff Meller. In for Peggy Kaczynski this week. Will Peggy be back next week? I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll have to tune in to find out. But we are here with you this week. And we saw, we got a great action at the UC tonight. We had some great action at the UC last night. It was actually fun. For the first time in a while, in my opinion, to watch the Blackhawks win. And you had a couple of hat tricks.
Yeah.
And Brian Hanley on the hockey show bringing the fire this morning with the question, does it even count? Do hat tricks count if the final goal is an empty netter, Dion?
They do. They do count.
Should they?
Because it is a third goal. This is what we had this debate in the ABC 7 sports office last night because we were editing on the fly. It was happening. They were scoring so fast in that third period, and we were trying to get ready for the 10 o'clock news. And so it was like, should we? And my producer looks at me. He's like, should I put it on? Because, you know, Kirby Doc hadn't scored in a while. So that was a big deal. And we were trying to, they scored eight goals. Like, how are you, you know, differentiating, whatever. And I was like, yeah, we put it on. He's like, yeah, but it was an empty netter. Like, it's not quite the same. And I was like, no, it is the same.
Ooh.
It is the same. I thought it was the same. And then today I got a viewer email, which I appreciate viewer emails. I really do. I really do. But she just says that she was disappointed in me because I'm not going to use her name. We're going to protect the innocent. But she was upset because I didn't show Brandon Hagel's hat trick.
Final goal.
And I didn't mention that it was his 100th game and he was getting a hat trick. Now, here's what I will say. I love viewer emails. I love interacting with our viewers. I love to know what our viewers care about. We had 2 minutes of sports last night and we had to go fast.
Yeah.
And we had limited time to talk about what was going on. So we didn't have time for eight goals. Should we have mentioned more of it? Maybe. We'll do that again today. But it's a big deal. I think hat tricks are always a big deal. I don't know.
So did you, this is so tough too. And this is where I think it's, you know, this is a little, little look for the viewer into what goes on here because yeah, you have 2 minutes and you have the entirety of the sports landscape to cover.
And the majority of our viewer is not necessarily the diehard sports fan.
Sure.
And so we know that, you know, the people that are often watching sports are, oh, I know who Patrick Kane is. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know the other names. That may not resonate with them as much.
So did you say Patrick Kane had a hat trick?
Yeah.
But not Brandon Hagel.
I don't remember.
Okay. See, that's
she's saying I didn't mention it, so I probably
sure. So I could, I guess I could see her point is if you know, you could have said Kane and Hagel.
Right.
But yeah, you're right, though. But most of your viewers don't know who Hagel is.
Right.
So that's fair.
And it was happening while I was on the set. Excuses. I should not make excuses. But it was just a...
I'm interested, though. It's interesting to see the insight of how this comes about.
It's live. It's happening as we speak.
It's easy for me on the radio. We've got 2 hours of a show to fill in. And you know what, though? oftentimes we don't get to a lot of things we want to talk about here too. We were actually talking about that in the break, is there's so much stuff and you don't have all, you have all this time. You think it's going to, you know, all this time to get to all these topics and you're like, oh, am I going to have enough? And then it turns out you didn't get to half the stuff on your list that you were hoping to talk about.
Oh my goodness. That's my sportscast every day. There's so many things I want to talk about.
Try condensing that into 2 minutes. Much more difficult. But I do think Brian Hanley had a point on the hockey show this morning. When you score a hat trick, it's different when the final goal is because of an empty netter. I'm not trying to, maybe I am. I'm trying to diminish the accomplishment just a bit. Because when you score a hat trick, the third goal, when all of them come against the goalie, it is a little different.
I can agree with you on that. Yes.
You know, tapping that last one in. And it, again, here's the thing. Kane had a brilliant night last night, and there were a couple of shots prior to getting the tap in where he had some ridiculous, you know, just his hand-eye coordination, and I'm trying to think of it, if it hit the crossbar or if it just sailed over, but he had beaten the goalie, and it just missed the net.
Yeah.
It was still a brilliant shot, so it seemed like he, in some ways, he earned the hat trick anyway because he didn't score, but one that he should have, it felt like, but I do think it loses its luster when the hat trick is the final goal is on the empty net.
But let me also say, he only has 8 hat tricks in his career. He has 8 hat tricks in his career. It's not like he's had multiple 2-goal games, right? So it's not like they're just, he's getting all these hat tricks because of empty netters. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like it still is noteworthy.
Now, yeah, no, and it's definitely noteworthy, but I do think when the...
And it should count. 3 goals in a game is hard. I don't care.
Of course, but maybe more should be made of the fact that, you know, when you actually have a hat trick that occurs and the final goal is not an empty netter. Maybe we should make more of that. Maybe we should, you know...
Okay. If Brandon Hagel's had not been an empty netter, maybe I would have done that. Instead of Patrick Kane.
Somehow I doubt that's true. But that's just
Also had a teeny tiny technical difficulty right before I went on the air last night. So that was another reason why our highlights were limited.
Well, what are you going to do?
It's the Mighty 7. We're doing our best.
You know what? It's still great work. She's Dionne Miller of ABC7. You can also hear her every Saturday along with Peggy Kaczynski, just not this week, because I'm Jeff Meller in for Peggy. Up next, the UC is going to be rocking again tonight, and probably louder than it was last night.
Correct.
Because DeMar DeRozan, who some people are talking about as an MVP candidate, well, his newest teammate called him something and described him as something else the other day.
Yes.
Which I thought was very cool. We'll share that with you next.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Peggy and Dion.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Smooth criminal, man. Debo, man, one hell of a player, man. He's playing lights out right now.
Here's DeRozan. Stops. Fires. Got it. DeRozan. Fires for the lead. Got it. Finest. Does it again. Oh, my goodness. I told you. DeMar DeRozan time. Was in the air at him, and it was too late. Once he got to his spot, it was over. Look, no double team comes late, spins back, take that with you. DeMar DeRozan is the real deal. You hear the MVP chants.
My eyes, he's the MVP right now of our league, and he's playing at an MVP level. I think people need to give him his credit, give him his flowers, because what he's able to do with this team, and, you know, when things are getting stagnant and we need a big bucket and a big time shot. That's what big time players do. You know, I play with some big time players, and when it's money time, you give them the ball and it makes something happen. And that's what he's been doing night in, night out, but especially tonight.
Newest Bull Tristan Thompson describing DeMar DeRozan's Fantastic effort on Thursday night. The Bulls are back in action tonight at the UC as Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies visit tonight. Hopefully, I assume Ja is going to play. He banged up his hip the other night, but no injury-related updates on him, so I think he's going to play, hopefully. I say that because even though I'm a Bulls fan, I always like to watch some of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm rooting for the Bulls. But DeMar DeRozan, the season that he has had, Dion, has been absolutely magnificent. And I would say very surprising for a lot of
Bulls
fans.
Very surprising. And no one expected this. And he just is so, it's like effortless. It's so fun to watch him to just rock the UC, right? Like the other night when he hit that shot 15 seconds to go, the place goes nuts. And he could hardly even describe what that feels like because it just is so natural for him. He's become so clutch. And what he's doing at such a consistent level is incredible. It's incredible. And finally now, after the All-Star break, as there's only 22 regular season games left, finally people are starting to talk about DeMar DeRozan and what he's doing. Because I saw a tweet last night, someone talking about, look, if this was MJ or this was LeBron shooting at that high of a percentage, at that consistent of a level, I mean, it's like otherworldly what he's been able to do.
So his 37 points against the Hawks extended his streak of games with 35 or more points on 50% or better shooting from the field to 8 games.
Yeah.
He also passed Michael Jordan's 1988 mark for the second longest streak of 35-plus point games in Bulls history. Now, Jordan still has the lead, which is 10 games. So if he can go ahead and extend the streak, he being DeMar DeRozan, if he can extend his streak tonight, he will move within one game of tying Michael Jordan's Bulls record of 10 straight games with 35 points or more. I mean, we're talking about Jordan stats that
we were talking about Wilt Chamberlain.
Sure.
Like, oh my gosh.
So, and the crazy thing is, we all knew that DeMar DeRozan was an all-star player and you know, had plenty of all-star seasons, had averaged over 27 points per game with the Toronto Raptors in the past. So we knew what he was capable of. But I don't think anybody believed he was capable of this.
No. No, I don't think so.
And what's interesting to me is when a player hits a certain stage of their career, you kind of, I think all of us as sports watchers kind of assume that they plateau, and you don't generally expect a higher level, right?
Mm-hmm.
What DeRozan has done, I think, is really interesting. And something he said, I want to play for our listeners out there, Deanne, something he said back on Valentine's Day when in the midst of this streak in the post game, he was asked about, you know, what he's doing and his efficiency.
Yeah.
And he noted his approach to the game, the mental acuity that he brings to it, I think, is maybe more than most that I've seen from some players. And I think that is leading to some of his success today. Here, listen to Sam Smith set it up with a Q&A in the post game back on February 14th, which I think gives us a lot of insight into his success.
He was asked about you starting slowly, and he said that so survey the game, you know, you check how they're playing you, you know, see how other guys are going. And that's something Jordan used to. Now, I'm not comparing him with Jordan. He was better. But,
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. You're damn right. I'm with you.
But he used to talk about that as well, that, you know, he would start slowly, see how they're playing, what they're going to do. And is that the way you approach it?
For sure. For sure. And it's crazy you say that. I was just telling somebody the other day, I'm a big boxing fan, and one of my favorite Floyd, and I remember having a conversation with Floyd years ago, you know, how he approached fights, you know, and for him, it's about collecting data in the first couple rounds of what his opponent liked to do, how he could just break them down, you know. And, you know, I'll talk about the championship rounds when it comes to 7, 8, 9, 10 round, where you could kind of hear your opponent breathing a little bit harder, you know, drops, you know, the same analogy and approach I take with basketball, you know, and just picking them apart, understanding how a defense going to play me, player, aggressive, game flow. You know, it's just me collecting so much data early in the game and kind of pick it apart as the game goes on.
Is that a conscious thing that you approach it almost like a boxing match?
Yeah. Yes, 1,000%, because I'm such a fanatic when it comes to boxing. And, you know, some of the greatest boxers that I watch, you know, I always try to analyze how they approach it. You know, me, I kind of do the same. You know, I'm not no knockout puncher, you know, but I want to wear you down because I know I could go the length however long you need to go.
So that was DeMar DeRozan with Sam Smith on the questions there in the post game, the night the Bulls beat the Spurs. And if you'll recall, Deion, DeMar DeRozan scored 40 points that night. But what was peculiar about that night was that he started 1-for-6 from the field, right?
Right.
But he was still able to go ahead and finish with 40 points on the night. And he shot 16-for-24 from the field. So think about that. After starting 1-for-6, he finished the game 15-for-18 from the field.
Yeah.
The you know, the efficiency with which he scores as the game progresses is incredible. And Michael Jordan's a whole different type of animal when you're discussing, you know, Bulls history. But what DeMar DeRozan has been doing lately is just I can't even put into words what I'm watching because of the way he's doing it. And I thought that was very insightful that night because he tells you the mental aspect and how he's approaching the game is really interesting to me. And because this is his first year as a member of the Bulls, I'm not sure if he's always been like this, but the success on the court has never been this good for him. So I do think there may be a bit of a different approach that DeMar DeRozan is taking this season that he never had in the past. And he is excelling. And for Bulls fans, this has been incredible to watch.
The first thing I think of is the way he just described that is a maturity, is a player maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's grown up so much. And I was watching him warm up the other night when we were at the UC before that game on Thursday night. And I thought of that conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought of how brilliant that is for him to approach it. Like, seeing him miss shots and kind of just getting in, finding his groove, and knowing that he'll be there in the fourth quarter, and knowing in his heart that he's going to measure like how this game begins and then ease into his rhythm. And that's exactly what happened. Like, it's brilliant when you see it unfolding that way. And it's a maturity. It's a knowledge of the kind of player he is, his own competitive nature, what he knows he's able to do. And that kind of confidence that he's carrying into a game is just cool. It's another level that he's finding later in his career. And I think a lot of the things he went through with his dad and traveling back and forth and all the things that he went through when he was in San Antonio and even leaving Toronto and how emotional all of that stuff was has kind of matured him into this moment to be able to be the best version of DeMar DeRozan that the Bulls are getting. And just finding that right fit. I think the psychology of sports has come in a lot over the last couple of years, but it really matters. It's the mental health of these guys and the grind of what they're going through, but just then knowing what they're dealing with in life and on the court. I think it's coming together for him at the right time, in the right place for this moment.
I will say this too. I think based on what happened again on Thursday night, you know, remember he too had the back-to-back game winners.
Yes.
So on December amazing. 31st and January 1st. So the weird, you know,
in two different years.
Yes. He's the first player ever to hit back-to-back game winners in, you know, last second shots in different years. So he's got all these things and all these memorable moments this season. I do think the narrative is starting to unfold now where he may actually end up winning the MVP. It's not going to be easy. He's going to have to continue to play at the level he's currently at, if not continue to, you know, if he can just play at this level where he, you know, is frequently hitting 35-plus points a night and over 50% shooting, well, then the conversation will continue to, you know, swell in his favor.
Yeah.
And also, too, the fact that the Bulls now are 39-21 tied with the Heat, that, to me, is going to be critical. The Bulls need to, I think, if DeMar DeRozan is going to go ahead and win the MVP, I really do think the Bulls have to get that one seed.
I do.
Just
too.
Like when Derrick Rose won it in 2011, they were the number one seed. I think DeMar DeRozan's MVP candidacy is going to rely a lot on them winning the number one seed, because we know that the biggest, you know, impediment for him is probably going to be Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Giannis, I don't think the way the Bucks are, you know, they're 36-24, so it's only three games back. So certainly if they go on a run, it'll be different. But I think there's going to be some reticence to give Giannis another MVP when you've got so many other great candidates, right?
Right, right.
Devin Booker is in the mix, especially if the Suns continue to play at a great level. But I think if the door is open for DeMar.
I do too.
I'll give the listeners out there evidence. Yesterday on First Take, Stephen A. Smith is on there with Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
And for, I don't know if it was 5-8 minutes, a full segment on DeMar DeRozan with the heading DeMarvelous.
Wow.
And Stephen A. Smith talking about DeMar DeRozan being the MVP front runner. That shifts the narrative. And so if DeMar DeRozan, again, it's an exceedingly high level of play that he's going to have to continue to play at. But if he can keep doing what he's been doing over these last 8 games, you know, noting that, of course, the streak's not going to go on forever. But if he can continue to do this for a large portion of the remainder of the season,
yeah.
I think he could win the MVP.
I think he could, too. I think he could, too. But what he's all about is winning championship and putting the Bulls in position for that. And this whole team has been so, it's just been, they've just been fun to watch because of the way that they care about each other and the way they care about what they're doing together. And even bringing in Tristan Thompson, that was a big moment this week. It was interesting. I think we should talk about that.
Absolutely. There was a lot, there was, he was definitely a huge addition, and he was, in his first game on Thursday night, a valuable member out there,
big
that I think is they're going to need to lean on. And he has some playoff chops, so I'm with you. And it's not just his play on the court that stood out to you. We'll share what else Deion was intrigued by from Tristan Thompson next.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Welcome back to Peggy and Deion.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Another Saturday flying by here in the State Street Studio.
Yes, yes.
I mean, flying by. Jeff, this is so much fun. Let's continue talking about the Bulls, because they are so much fun, and they're playing again tonight, and we're going to see more from DeMar DeRozan and probably Tristan Thompson, which was an interesting interaction this week when he arrived on Thursday. I was in Cleveland covering the Cavaliers when he was drafted in 2011, and I remember when he started dating Khloe Kardashian and thinking, is that the same Tristan Thompson? Like, I was just surprised that this kid from Canada went to Texas. Like, I just didn't see him as the Hollywood and hoops type. But no, that's definitely where he's at. And it was interesting because he was asked by another reporter in about that towards the end of the introductory press moment he had with us. Now, I will say this. Billy Donovan was over the top about just how personable he is. And he is. He's a charmer. He looks the part. He's adorable.
So you can see why Khloe would be enamored by Tristan.
Khloe, any one of the other women that he interacts with, yes. But I did not. And so this other reporter, he asks a brilliant question. He's like, how do you feel about the fact that a lot of people know you for the they don't necessarily know you for basketball? And he, Tristan, asked for like a little more clarification, and he was like, well, there's a whole section of people who know you for, you know, Hollywood over hoops, and how do you feel about that? And obviously there's, you Google Tristan Thompson right now, you'll see instantly what everybody is talking about. So this was his response.
Just be myself, be true to myself, and you know, everyone's gonna have their opinion on you or judge you, but you know, until you break bread with me and get to know me, then you know who really I am. So I think you guys will get to know me some more and get to know the real Tristan. So I don't like talking in third person, but not at all. That's not my thing, guys. So don't, yeah, getting to know me, you know?
Yeah.
Huh? No problem. You guys like pizza? Not a deep dish, guys. So we're going to get some like just regular pizza.
So he played it well. He also mentioned that he's very blessed with all three of his children. But I then later was trying to do a little bit more research about like where he's at basketball wise. And I Googled, what can the Bulls expect Tristan Thompson? Like, that's just not a full sentence. Just, I just needed some words. And I mean, the first two pages were expecting his third child with a third different mom. And
oh, well, because you put expect in there.
Right. Well, I wasn't thinking that would be that big of a deal. So it was just interesting. And I did have more than one comment when I posted pictures of him and what he was saying, and that, you know, I think fans will like him on the court. I think he's such a likable guy. And, you know, a lot of responses, Team Khloe, and I can't believe he's on the Bulls. And it was just, it's just interesting. He's a more of a polarizing player than I anticipated.
So I'm trying, like, from a basketball sense, he, I think he got unfair baggage, not from the off the court stuff, but because he got the big contract in Cleveland.
Yes.
And LeBron James is somebody who will quickly point the finger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking earlier about Aaron Rodgers and how sometimes his lack of accountability publicly, right? LeBron James, you know, he will gladly take all the adoration that you want to send his way, and he will also send out the faults of everybody around him and why he's never responsible. And I think Tristan Thompson, at least my recollection of his career, because he had the big contract, he frequently, you know, was the whipping boy from LeBron James, because oftentimes in Cleveland, they came up just short, right?
Yeah.
That first run when LeBron was there. And Tristan Thompson was the big who was tasked with helping them, you know, win championships. And because of the big contract, people felt like he didn't necessarily live up to expectations. But I think Tristan Thompson was the perfect addition for the Bulls. Exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
And without having to give up anything of consequence, because he was a buyout and a signing. And so I think Tristan Thompson was a perfect move for this team. And he brings the big that, you know, whether or not, again, I don't think there was a trade to be made for the Bulls, because they really didn't, I don't think, ever had any real interest in trading Patrick Williams away. And that was the only piece they had that you could look around the league and say, well, if you're going to get a difference maker that might help you beat teams like the 76ers, the Bucks, the Nets, when you need to in the playoffs, the Heat, I don't think there was a player the Bulls could have gone out and traded for,
right,
that you would feel confident would make them the clear-cut front runners, right?
Right.
So without that being available, Tristan Thompson, to me, was the perfect solution.
You
know, a guy on the buyout market that you gave up nothing for, who is still, at 30 years old, a very serviceable basketball player, and who, when Vooch is not giving you what you want, you can send Tristan Thompson in to be a different type of player, but still complementary to this team around him. So, and like you said, that introductory press conference was revelatory for me.
Yeah.
Outside of, like you said, following the saga of what was going on, the Page Six, or, you know, from Tristan Thompson's TMZ, you know, outside of that, and I didn't know much about Tristan Thompson personally. I don't consume the Kardashians.
I don't either.
Tyler,
so I knew precious
any
little.
Any insight on the Kardashians and Tristan Thompson, or do you?
I'm not a big Kardashian person. I will say this. When you Google Tristan Thompson's name, Basketball Reference does not come up till page two.
Yes.
Correct. I just did that.
That's kind of all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Yeah, I just did that same thing, Tyler, and that I was thinking that same thing. I mean, it's not like these are stories that are old. They're all in real time, like in the last 24 to 48 hours, all these dramatic stories that are off the court issues.
I will say this. So I was at the game on, what was it, Thursday against the Hawks, and there was a couple sitting next to us, and the girl had no idea that Tristan Thompson had just been signed, and when she heard him check into the game, she was incensed. I heard her tell her boyfriend at the time, if I knew that he was playing and on this team, I would not have come. Big time Team Chloe there.
That's hilarious. That is awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Well,
I didn't realize that people felt so passionately about Khloe Kardashian. I guess I should have known that. But I mean, I did also read that he posted some sort of public apology. I hope that he actually said those words to her.
I don't care, Deanna.
I know. Yeah.
All I care about is what he does on the basketball court.
I'm sorry. I have emotions about this too.
Okay,
I want him to be a respectable.
Okay. Forgive my naivete. Forgive the fact that I do not have any real knowledge of the Thompson Kardashian situation. Can either of you give me a brief, you know, idea of what happened?
Believe he cheated on her.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so
here's the thing. So because
with his trainer or a trainer, Tyler?
Here's the thing.
You don't care.
I'm sorry. There's going to be infidelity going on. As a Bulls fan, take care of that. Just don't let it get seep into how you play basketball publicly, because it's known and out there because of who he cheated on.
Yeah.
Fine. you know what? Not going to lose a second of sleep over Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian's, you know, their breakup. I'm moving on. Now I know. Cool. All right.
I guess, like, I actually, back to my 11-year-old son, I had a talk with him about mm-hmm. the fact that he has three different moms, like that, three different children with three different mm-hmm. moms, which is a lot. Maybe let's not do that. You know, like, let's make a better choice. And I guess that then finding out that Dennis Rodman is his idol, role model, like, it suddenly makes a little bit more sense about his desire to balance hoops in Hollywood and mm-hmm. kind of be in both fields and kind of brand himself that way, which is weird to say.
Loving the spotlight.
As like a first round, fourth overall pick. Like, that's just interesting that he's trying to balance the two. That's all.
Yeah, he likes the limelight.
Apparently. He does. He's not afraid of it. He does give a good soundbite. Like, I'm here for that.
I would just, I just hope, however it comes about, just be a good father to your children.
Yes.
That for me, however, yes. You know what? And it becomes.
And I think he can be.
Sure. But ultimately, you know, as a sports consumer, this is me personally, I compartmentalize, you know.
That's what I was going to say. You can do that, right? You can watch and not.
The court, because I long ago came to the conclusion that whatever public persona they want to put on is what they're going to put out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I don't believe it, but I'm very skeptical with whatever a person is putting out there publicly, and I'll trust that until you burn me a couple of times,
yeah,
and prove that you're not trustworthy. But ultimately, I'm just watching you, and as long as I don't know about something, you know, I would say something that's felonious, or, you know, as long as you're not breaking the law, I personally will kind of like get by it.
But what breaking hearts is okay, just not breaking the law.
I mean, I you live your life, Tristan Thompson.
I mean, we can't control what he does. We can't control what he does.
Do you not root for a player like that? Do you? I guess, do you let it affect you in any way as somebody who watches sports?
No, obviously not. And here's the other thing. As we've gotten older, we all know everybody has something. Everybody's got something.
There's
something going on behind everybody.
And whether or not we know it you know.
Does that impact our loyalty to the fan, to the team?
Yeah, I just can't assume that everybody out there is as good as they're trying to portray. And, you know, if your baggage does go public.
Right.
I try not to be so critical and assume that you're the only person who does have things like that.
Right.
It's just unfortunate for some people that it gets out there and then it becomes, you know, you become publicly scorned because of it.
Everyone makes mistakes and there are consequences to those mistakes. Owning them and saying, okay, I screwed up, I need to get this together, is where you re-earn my respect. Taking care of it.
Yeah. We'll have a second chance to watch Tristan Thompson tonight as the Bulls host the Memphis Grizzlies. The NFL dominoes have begun to fall in the booth.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion on ESPN 1000.
I told Peggy last week that I used to know almost every word of this song. Of the original. Hip to the hip, to the hip, hip, poppy. Don't you know this song?
I do, but with the original.
Who was it, Tyler?
Sugar Hill Gang.
That's right.
Because yeah. I'm a little bit. Sugar Hill Gang, I was not really cognizant of music as it was like released.
Right? No, never. So, no, this was later.
Yeah. So I got to know it a little bit later. But it like at that point, I think we brought up, you know, hip hop and mm-hmm. gangster rap growing up in the 90s. I obviously was a big fan of gangster rap. But Sugar Hill Gang preceded that. So I didn't really. I never knew the words. I know that's right in Tom Waddell's wheelhouse.
Oh, I love that.
He can go
love
ahead and song. I think he can recite the whole thing for you. In fact, and I know in the past he has sung Sugar Hill Gang.
I would do that with him.
I have audio somewhere in our system. But we have been one last segment to go, Deanna. It went so fast.
Wow, it did go fast.
I'm Jeff Meller in for Peggy this week. Peggy, we hope, will be back next week. We will find
out.
We
believe so.
But I don't think I'll be available. So it's hopefully so Peggy's going to have to step up and be available for that one, for the Peggy and Dion show. But we're wrapping things up here inside the First Midwest Bank studio on ESPN 1000. You can always go back and check out all the podcasts as well on the ESPN Chicago app. So make sure you download that if you missed anything and you want to get up to speed on what exactly happened with Danny Zetterman. You want the full you want the full story. It's all available for you on
Find out
app.
If my child has ever cursed, not in my presence.
Yes, yes. So all of that is available for you at your fingertips on your phone if you download the ESPN Chicago app. All right, so the dominoes across the NFL booths.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
We got
stuff.
Word. It looks like Troy Aikman is going to be headed to ESPN, where he will be taking over the Monday Night Football analyst, which I think is a great, great grab for ESPN. Mm-hmm. Because I like Lewis Riddick a lot. I do think, though, he was a bit miscast in the Monday Night Football booth.
I like Lewis Riddick a lot, too.
I just think, when they went to the three-man booth with Brian Greasy and Steve Levy, again, I love Steve Levy. He, I thought, was miscast as an NFL play-by-play man because everybody got to know Steve Levy as a SportsCenter anchor for the past 20-plus years, right, Dion?
Yeah.
And I know he did some hockey.
He did a lot of hockey.
He was more, most fans knew Steve Levy as, right alongside Barry Melrose.
Yes.
Forever. As the anchor for ESPN's NHL coverage. And he just didn't do a lot of play-by-play with football. So for him to move into the Monday Night Football booth, and the fact that I never felt, he just doesn't have that grandiose voice, right?
Right.
So when he stepped into the Monday Night Football booth, I just felt like it was a complete situation where ESPN was kind of trying to find their way, hoping it stuck. But I don't know if Steve Levy will be the play-by-play man next year. I would be surprised if he is. It sounds like Joe Buck is somebody ESPN might be interested in, although he still has a year left with Fox. So we'll see how that goes about. I don't think Fox wants Joe Buck to leave.
No, of course not, because he does everything. He does everything. So and ESPN has people to do all those other things. So I can't imagine Joe Buck would be interested in leave. I mean, I guess money talks, but
listen, Joe Buck grew up in a baseball booth with his dad, right?
Of course, right.
So I think he loves being the play-by-play man for the World Series.
Yes, agreed.
So I do think, not having that property is probably something that plays a role for Joe Buck. Like you said, money always talks, but it's different when you're somebody like Joe Buck who, is the voice for baseball and football, right?
Right.
That is something that when you've reached his status, I don't know how much money would be the difference maker for him, right?
Right.
But he might not, if you're already making $12 million or something like that, do you need to make 20, or will you be like, I love my life and I love being the voice of the World Series?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, it's just like players, right? People get traded all the time. Maybe he'd go somewhere else to a different team and feel like, wow, this is a great fit. I like this for my lifestyle. Like, who knows?
Al Michaels is also a free agent.
Yeah.
Although it sounds like Amazon is a big player for him. Which using ESPN as leverage.
Right. Of course.
Al Michaels and Troy Aikman,
discussed. Maybe. But for how long?
Yeah.
Al's 77. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But it's just 5 years, $90 million. That's a lot of money to talk about football once a week.
It's a good gig
if you can get it.
You think, listen, I'll tell you what.
Aren't ESPN and ABC owned by the same, owned by Disney? Aren't we all Disney?
Dion, we can, if this thing goes anywhere, Meller and Miller, we'll work for, I'll work for $89 million.
Same. I'd do 80.
So
$80 million.
Right, we're quickly giving away our negotiation position by just blurting that out there.
We are, yeah.
You're interested in the NFL Combine?
Yes. Well, I kind of have to be. But we are headed to Indianapolis this week for the NFL Combine. Our first time seeing like Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus in that role and kind of picking their brains more about the roster they've gotten to know over the last month, and hopefully talk more about the staff that they put in place and what their kind of vision is when they go through not only what they're looking for here at the Combine, but then OTAs will quickly follow and we'll get started. The football season continues.
I'm never too interested in what they say because they're always very vague in the NFL Combine meetings because they don't want to give anything away. So I'll have to. I put more stock in what they do in the draft as opposed to what they say over this next week.
That's true.
I don't want to completely diminish what you're going
to
be doing
out
there.
No. I just want to get to know them outside of that introductory press conference. Sure. This is the first time we're going to get to see that.
And finally, plug your event that you have going
Monday
on tomorrow.
Monday night for Chicago Public Libraries.
Or Monday,
I'm going to get to have a social justice conversation with Candace Parker. We're so lucky she's back in the city.
Yes.
But like a great advocate for so many things. So I'm really excited to chat with her.
Champion.
You can see, I've tweeted it out on the socials, but it's virtual. You can watch it from home. We're going to have a great discussion about so many things from Black History Month to Women's History Month. Should be fun.
Great stuff. Dion, thanks for having me this
week. You're the best.
All right.
Thanks, Tyler.
Peggy and Dion back next week. But that does it for us here on ESPN 1000. Thanks for listening.
Have a great day.